I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, you did not miss your opportunity.
I hear the Lord say, and so it is.
So check this out. I don't know who this is for, but...
What's up, y'all? Welcome or welcome back to the Me and He podcast with your host, Araya Sunshine. In today's episode, it is titled God Speaking, Psychosis, Reality, and Delusion. Okay, so my first question before I hop into anything is, what is one question that you wish people ask you more often? I honestly don't have one specific one. Well, I guess honestly my name, my first name's Array, my middle name is Sunshine, but a lot of people, they either assume like Sunshine's or a nickname, and so they end up mispronouncing my first name because they don't see that it blends together. But there's so many different things. But that is definitely a question that I wish people asked more. And then I have other questions as well, not specific, but I just wish that more people were intentional when talking to me about stuff, because intentionality to me means so much. So I'm curious to hear what y'all think about that. But going straight in, so the definition of psychosis is the term for a collection of symptoms that happen when a person has trouble telling the difference between what's real and what's not. This disconnection from reality, which can often be called delusion. It can often be called delusion, but the belief that something that's not real is real, that is the delusion, not just simply the disconnection. The belief is what that is. It can happen for several reasons, including many different mental and physical conditions, usually treatable with medication and other techniques. And then I'm going to give you all the definition of reality. It's the world or the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or notional idea of them. A thing that is actually experienced or seen, especially when this is grim or problematic. Whew. So I'm going to start this off talking about when God speaks. So also, I apologize if y'all hear any wind. It is raining right now in Texas, like raining off and on. It's windy as well. So I really am sorry for all of that y'all have been hearing this season, but it's literally just a part of the Texas life. And I will be a Texas girl forever, so I apologize. But getting into it, whenever God speaks, there's truth. There's a sense of absoluteness and certainty. There is no confusion at all. And so in regarding truth, I'm going to read Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, meaning that in humans, it's innate for us to lie, meaning that as a human, you're going to at least tell at least bare minimum one lie by the time you meet our Lord and Savior up above in heaven. But it's innate in us because sin is innate in us. But God is not a man like us. He's not a human like us. He's not a creature like us that he has that compulsion or that surrender to lie. And so, and he's not a son of man. And don't think of that as Jesus. The son of man in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 is not capitalized, meaning it's not referring to Jesus Christ. Sorry, I have the jitters and stuff. I don't know. I think it's cold outside. I'm interested about this topic. I'm very passionate about it, as I am everything else I talk about. So I'm talking really fast, like usual. But he's not a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Meaning what God says is what God says. God's word is absolute. It's powerful. It stands on its own. God doesn't have to shake hands with us so that we can know that a deal is a deal. He doesn't have to bring multiple witnesses in for us to know that what he said is certain and true. But us as humans, we have to do that stuff because at times we're just not reliable, point blank, period. And so whenever it talks about God having certainty and absoluteness, it means just what this said. Like when God says something, it is what it is. God doesn't double back and say things like, ooh, actually, I'm going to renege on that. I'm actually going to take that back and let's pretend like it didn't happen. That's not God. That's us as humans. And we should not project our human ideas and ways of living on God, because that's not how he works. And literally, that's so crazy, because as humans, especially, depends on where you're from, we'll say, oh, I swear to God, or on God, this is pissing me off, or da da da. But it's like, pause. Don't put that on God, because God didn't have nothing to do with sin. So we have to check ourselves when it comes to that. There's literally a Bible verse. Let me write it down, because I don't remember it off the top of my head. But it says, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. It means exactly what it says. Whenever you say something, stand on that. There's a trend now where it's like you got to stand on business. Stand on your word. Furthermore, stand on the word of God. Because when you don't stand on the word of God, you get weak in the knees. And I feel like a lot of people can just tell by the way you act, by the way you react, by the way you talk, which you don't say when you're supposed to talk. You can always tell. You can always decipher the fruits if you read Galatians 5. And again, that's something I talked about in season 1. So yeah. Okay, and then the fact that God is not a God of confusion. This is a big one. So I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Okay, so the author of 1 Corinthians is Paul, and he's talking to the church. I don't know if it's the church or churches, plural, of Corinthia. Let me do a quick check. To the church of God that is in Corinth. Okay, there's a church, one church in Corinth, sorry. And so the Corinthians are the people. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Think of tranquility. Think of calmness. Think of like you without all of the work struggles, without all of the family struggles, without you having to worry about paying bills. Like, it's just free. Like, think about that time prayerfully your childhood was good enough. Like, that one time in your childhood where you just felt safe, you felt okay. That makes me sad thinking about it. But like, you felt at rest. That's the type of peace that God gives. It doesn't waver like this, or like stuff in the sea. That's what James talks about. And James was actually Jesus's brother, so he knows what he's talking about. But it says that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And this 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is talking about prophecy and tongues and orderly worship. But specifically in this section, there are false prophets going around. And I'm going to speak on that a little bit here. But he's saying, like, whenever prophets are talking, they should not be confusing you. One prophet should not say that the world is going to end in 2012. But yet we're still here in 2024, stuff like that. There are orders and rules for the church, because God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, in Galatians 5, talking about it having self-control. And it talks about that as well throughout the rest of the Bible. And so God does have orders for the church, because he is a God of control. And so that is very important. But God is not a God of confusion. Whenever he's speaking, things are, period. It's not, oh, it could be this, or maybe he's saying this. It's not like you're reading a tarot card, or you're playing a game of goldfish or taboo or whatever the case is. You're not playing guess who. You're not playing that little flip game that you put on top and you have to go down to try and guess. That's not how it is with God. Whenever God speaks, what he's saying is true. It's absolute. You don't have to weigh it and see, I don't know. And I mean in the aspect, not that you shouldn't go back to the Bible if someone's telling you something about God. That's not what I mean. You always go back to the Bible to test what people say. But you don't have to test what God says, because his word is true. And there's eyewitnesses corroborating that. But moving on. And also, sorry, because I mentioned this before, so I don't want to seem like I'm contradicting myself. God does not need eyewitnesses. He doesn't need people to worship him. He didn't need other people to do various things in the Bible, but the fact that he allowed them to is good in and of itself. So I want to make that very clear. God does not need us, but we do need him. And a lot of people, they talk about that and they say, like, that's manipulative of God, or other things like that. And to that, honestly, I would just say, I don't consider that manipulative. It's just the truth. God doesn't need us. If we worship the God that needed us and depended on us, I would recommend that you not worship that God, because that God is not absolute in their sovereignty or their power if they need you in accordance with them. Okay, so going down, in order to decipher whether or not God is speaking to you or speaking through someone to speak to you, you have to weigh things out. And again, I want to be clear. You always weigh what other people say with the word of God, but if God is speaking to you directly, or if you're just hearing a Bible verse, that does not need to be weighed, because it is as good as gold. No, scratch that. The Bible is better than gold. It's better than gold. It's gooder than gold. I know gooder is not a real word, but I just thought I should add that in. So you want to ask yourself, is this a lie? Specifically, if you feel like God is saying something to you, first, check yourself. Because a lot of times people say, I feel. Well, you can feel a lot of things. Serial killers feel like they want to kill people. Rapists feel like they want to rape people. People who fight a lot, they feel like they feel angry and they want to fight people. That doesn't mean that it's always justified, though. So be extremely careful. And I know that those are pretty extreme things to compare God speaking to you too, but I'm saying that because whenever you get to the point where you think God is speaking to you, but he's not, because you're not checking it with the word of God, you will end up going to extremes. And that's where you end up having false prophets and things like that. And you end up becoming delivered over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind / mindset means that you are stuck in a mindset where you are literally believing your own delusions and lies. And that, I would honestly say, probably mimics a mental illness. So I'm just saying, I'm not a doctor. That's not what I'm in school for, but definitely do your own research, because God encourages us to have knowledge as well. So is this a lie? So meaning, is there truth coming from this voice or from this source? And how do you know if it's truthful? Those are questions that you should be asking yourself. And to answer those, go back to the Bible. If God is speaking to you concerning something about your life, go back to the Bible. God's not going to say, go on a killing spree. That's not truthful. If his word says, don't lie. God's not going to say, and I did a video on this about kingdom spouses. He's not going to say that somebody is your spouse, but they don't even love God right now. He's not going to say, you're going to marry this person soon, but that person is already in a committed marriage. Things like that. Like, that's how you know right off the bat that it's not God, but more things like financial decisions and things like that. This is probably the situation you're in, or maybe it's a big thing like moving and you feel like God's telling you something or speaking to you through a dream. And what I'll say is this, even though God has his hand in things and he has control over things, because again, he is absolute, he has sovereign, he has power. That's just who he is. What I want y'all to understand, though, is that God does not micromanage every little tiny thing in our lives. I actually heard a story. It actually wasn't a story. It's a real thing, from a Bible professor that spoke in chapel like a couple months ago. There was this young man that was so obsessed with hearing God's voice. And at times we can find ourselves in that predicament where we're so anxious to hear from God. We're so desperate to hear from God that we fall for scams. People telling us, oh, you need to tithe more. Or if you're not tithing, you must do it right now. That's why God's not speaking to you. Or they'll say things like, it's because you're not giving enough, or you're not fasting enough. Or they're like, it's because you're only reading a couple verses a day. You need to be reading 2 chapters. Like, things like that. Once you get into this bubble of desperation because you want God to change things in your life so bad or assist so bad, you end up falling into human error and you end up being subject to things like cults and other things like that, which is so unfortunate, but which is why you have to stay in your word and continue to read it so that you can be educated. But this young man was so desperate to hear from God that he was asking someone. He's like, how do you hear from God? Like, I need help. And they were giving him simple answers like, look in your Bible. They were like, think about the times that things happened in your life, but you knew for a fact they weren't coincidence. That was God. Think about the times that you've been delivered from stuff. That was God. And it just wasn't enough for the young man. And so he ended up staying in his room for several days on end and having to be committed to a psychiatric facility because he asked God to tell him what kind of socks he needed to wear for the day, and he was not getting an answer. And so he ended up being committed. And what I want y'all to understand from that story is, do not think that God is going to micromanage every single thing in your life. That contradicts free will. And if you have a teacher or a parent in your life who does every single little thing for you, how will you learn? Sorry, I'm just checking the mic to see if it's on. How will you grow? How will you have room to mess up? And think about it. That's why so many people are like, well, God, well, why doesn't God intervene with certain things? And I've asked that question before, especially with the stuff that I have been through, being molested when I was younger and being groomed, going through a lot of abandonment and neglect in my family, growing up fighting and arguing and cussing and just going through so much body images, body dysmorphia, eating disorders, like, and the list goes on and on. With me dealing with all of those things, suicidal thoughts, depression, I was even committed to a psychiatric facility when I was 16, 2 years ago, which I will talk about in episode 9, because I'll be talking about mental illnesses, just like I will be talking about it briefly, kind of, in this. But God is not micromanaging everything in our lives because he gives us self-control. Sorry, when we ask, he does give us self-control, but I meant to say he gives us free will. And while we may not agree with it at times, it is the conditions on which we live under on the entire globe, no matter what religion you believe in. You can ask God to use you as an instrument, but still we have the choice to do certain things in our life. And so you don't want to get to the point like that young man where you are not doing anything. You're literally hindering yourself because you're like, God, I'm not moving until you do X, Y, Z. I'm not ever going to get a job again until you tell me which job to do. I'm not ever going to date again until you tell me which person to marry. Well, actually, that could be good depending on your situation, if you were infatuated with people and things like that. But I'm not ever going to go to another church again until you tell me this specific one I'm supposed to be at. I'm not going to do my hair this morning until you tell me how to do my hair. Like, things like that. Like, once you get into micromanaging, I'm not going to lie to you, there's obsessiveness and there's a level of infatuation. And you definitely should check that, because you could have underlying mental health issues. And I'm saying could, because I cannot tell you what is certain, because I have not graduated college yet. And I will be a teacher, not a psychologist, not somebody that works in the medical field. So please get those things checked out, seriously, if you fall underneath those categories. But yes, ask yourself, is this the truth? Is this something that is common? Or does this feel like you're getting new revelation on something? Keep in mind, while we can learn new-ish things about the Bible, like things that you didn't see before, nothing that we learn as any human or across any religion is ever new per se, because we don't live original experiences. Like, even if you tripped and fall today and skinned your knee, millions of other people have done that. But what if you're like, but I tripped and fall and skinned my knee at school, people have done that. I tripped and fall and skinned my knee at work, been done. If you're like, I think I created a new hairstyle, promise you somebody else has done that. They probably just didn't have social media to show you. But I'm saying that to say we don't live original experiences. And so please be careful with thinking that you're getting new downloads or no one else knew this before about the Bible and you're just compelled to say this. The wisdom that God has given us is free to all, not only just to you or just to certain people. So be careful and have humility whenever you think God is speaking to you as well. Because God is not going to encourage you to be prideful and think that you're higher than others because he's giving you new information about something or just information in general. Okay. Next, whenever you are talking about the truth, you want to make sure that it affirms the Bible and not contradicts it. That is the biggest way to be able to discern, point blank, period. You want to make sure that whenever you think that you're hearing from God, test it. Is this voice that's telling you, is it foolish? Is it unwise? Is it only spoken so that it can grab your attention? Again, that might be OCD, it might be depression, anxiety, it might be something deeper. It could be like schizophrenia, it could be bipolar disorder. You never know. And to anyone who has struggled with mental health illnesses before or is struggling with it now, please go see a doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm gonna talk about that in episode 9, but I know a lot of people are against, especially as Christians, against doctors and medication for depression and ADHD and things like that. Y'all, Jesus was like the ultimate doctor. God was like the ultimate doctor to help us and save us from our sins. And so if you need help, go get help. Please. I'm begging, especially if you feel like you're hearing voices and things like that. That is not normal. Now, if God is speaking to you, that's one thing. But to feel like it's happening every day, multiple times a day, to the point where it's crippling you and you can't move or do the next thing until you feel like this voice speaks to you, something is wrong. Also, make sure that this voice isn't based heavily on sensuality or emotion. And I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, so that y'all can see specifically what I'm talking about and just be able to decipher all of this stuff. Because even if a certain thing that you're going through, like a situationship, immediately, no, if you feel like a voice is telling you to stay in a situationship, that is not God, because you're wasting your time and God would not permit that. But it could be a situationship. It could be a specific thing in a divorce. Maybe those specific circumstances aren't in the Bible word for word, but I will tell you it is similar things that are probably more general and fall into that category. So just be careful with Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Dang, these pages are so... Okay, sorry, I was struggling. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not... Oh, sorry, that's verse 18. Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. So if you're being led by your emotions and rage and or even sexual impulses and stuff, and you're like, but no, God is giving this to me. Now, sexual impulses are going to be in us if you are a woman with a uterus. So practically all women, unless you've had a hysterectomy, or if you're a man with a you know what, you're going to have sexual desires. But to say that God is giving you these sexual desires so that you can commit sin and things like that, you are being led by sensuality. If you're saying, no, God is telling me to cuss this person out and do all that stuff, you're being led by sensuality. You're being enamored by what you feel, almost glamorizing it and idolizing it. And that is not God. Always go back to the Bible about what is permissible and what is not. And then also, whenever you feel like this voice speaks to you to determine whether or not it's God, there will definitely, it will definitely be found in scripture. It won't be put into scripture, meaning in an eisegesis manner, where someone reads something about the Bible and puts their own words back in as if there's some type of Paul or Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, or Micah. No. That is not what that is. It's not going to be in the Bible because your pastor explained it in a way that permits you and his sin. That is not what that means. It means it will be in the Bible, or something relating to it will be in the Bible. Because I know that our modern day terminology and stuff, of course, is not in the Bible. Like, you're not going to find standing on business in the Bible, but things similar to it, you will hear it, because honestly, the truth is always going to be mimicked and copied. It just happens. That's why I say there's no originality. Even with other religions, there's always hints of Christianity in there somewhere. Especially, you can see it a lot with New Age things. There's always hints and things of it in there. So I say just really pay attention to that. Okay, so the next thing is that I'm going to talk about some buzzwords to be careful for whenever you feel like God is speaking to you, or God is speaking to others and they're trying to say, oh, God told me this word is for you. These are some buzzwords that they're going to use, so please be very careful. They're going to say things like, I heard the Lord say XYZ concerning XYZ. And you have to be careful with that kind of stuff because, hold on, I'm so sorry, it got darker. Oh, okay, we'll just keep going with it. But they're going to say things like, I heard the Lord say XYZ concerning XYZ. And you have to be careful, because if the Lord said that to them, it should also resonate with you. Not because you're being led by your emotions and sensuality and things like that. It should resonate with you because it's biblical. If it's not biblical, even one thing that they say, if it's not biblical, X it all out. Because when has there ever been a time in the Bible where God spoke and he got like seven things right, but one thing wrong? That's not how God rolls. It doesn't say he's the partial truth. It says he's the absolute and full truth. Whenever God speaks, he doesn't need to do three truths and a lie, two truths and a lie to speak to us and get the point across. He can speak to us in his entirety and in his fullness. God can still speak to us even when we don't want to hear what he's saying. And 9 times out of 10, we don't want to hear what God's saying. One, because we have a fear of him based on our own vain interpretations that we made of him, like he's scary and all of these things. But also because, hold on. I'm so sorry, dial it back in. But we also like have these different views of God and things like that because we know that what God has to say is true. And we don't want to hear that at times because we don't want to be convicted. But God chastises us and he says these things for a reason because it's for us. Okay, they also say Bud's words like, I don't know who this is for, but fill in the blank. Be very careful with this because whenever God addressed people in the Bible, he was direct. Even if it wasn't to one person specifically, it was to that group of people, or if it was toward that prophet knew whose message they were going to. God never said, I don't know who this message is for. He was always very clear and very direct whenever he was speaking. Also, they'll use buzzwords, or, and I say they meaning false prophets who are trying to give messages to you, or the voice that you feel like is talking to you, like God's voice. They'll also say things like, there's a sense of urgency, like you need to fast now, you need to tithe now. I've even heard things like, you need to start saving up cans and goods and stuff like that now, because if not, there's going to be an apocalypse, like Revelation is unfolding in front of us right now. So you need to start saving things and start saving your money and like all of that stuff. Again, check things with scripture. They'll say things like, also with the urgency thing, always remember, we as humans are governed by time, but God is not governed by time. So God is not going to be rushing us and being like, do it now or else. This is not a game show where you have X amount of time until you win the money. That's not how this goes. God is not governed by time, and he's not going to force you to do anything. You have the choice between right and wrong, but if you choose wrong, you made your bed, so you should lay in it. They'll also say things like, they'll mix something about the world in the message, meaning like how I said, like they'll get certain things right, but then that other part is like, like that's not even... It's like they're playing the guessing game, like kind of how psychics do and things like that. Or they'll say something concerning God, like God says that be fruitful and multiply. But then they'll turn that around and say, and that also means that as a man, you're permitted to sleep with any and every woman so that you have children, because children is more important to God than adultery. Stuff like that, you should be like, wait, what? And as a Christian, you can hear things that are maybe new to you, but if it doesn't check in the Bible, once you look it up, you need to leave it be immediately. That should definitely give you a red flag right off the bat. And then this is like the opposite end. This is actually how it goes when God speaks to you. Whenever God speaks to you, he gives his word back to you, because think about it. The primary way of communication that God chose to speak to us was through his written word, the Bible. And so whenever God is speaking to you, it'll be biblical. He's not going to go against his word. That just doesn't make sense. And I want y'all also to be aware, in Catholic Bibles, there's something called the Apocrypha. Now, the Apocrypha doesn't have your standard 66 books in the Bible like this does, Genesis through Revelation. The Apocrypha has an additional... I don't even know. I think 6+ books. It includes like a couple books from Maccabees. It includes something called like the Words of Wisdom that was supposedly written by Solomon. And all of those were written during the intertestamental period, which is a period between the Old and New Testament. I actually just talked about that on episode 5 about reading the Bible a little bit more in depth. But they have additional books that whenever they were tested by scholars, they did not mimic the original 66 books when talking about the word of God. Even the book Esther in here, she doesn't mention the name God in the Bible, but we still know that this has a biblical message attached to it, point blank period, because her lineage aligns with that of Christ and that of others. It goes, but the Apocrypha does not. And so be careful. about certain books like that. You can still read them as a way of getting history and things like that, but don't take it as the absolute concrete word of God. Same thing with prophets. Just because a prophet tells you something does not mean it overrides God's word. Just because you feel like a voice in your head is God doesn't mean that it is. So always check the scripture so that you can be sure. But he'll give his word back to you. Whatever God will say to you, it's going to come to pass. Point blank, period. There's always going to be a sense of directness, not just vain generalizations that leave you confused and doubtful. And so also, I will say this. There are times when God can speak to you. And if you do feel a source of confusion and you check that it's the word of God, that is not God confusing you. That's you confusing you, because 9 times out of 10, whatever God told you, you don't want to submit to. So just keep that in mind. In Exodus chapter 3, I'm actually going to read some of it. That's when Moses goes to the burning bush. And that's a very famous scene in the Bible because it's odd. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very odd. So Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him meaning Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And then God goes on to identify himself as the God of his father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He then explains to him his plan to save his children. There's a couple things that I want y'all to notice. God gave Moses a mission. He didn't walk away from hearing God the same person. But yet you'll hear these people and these televangelists and all these different false prophets and stuff. And it grieves me so bad. And I'm so passionate about it because I used to fall for this stuff. And the fact that we already know that there are wolves out in the world, but the fact that they lie within the bed of Christianity and call themselves Christians hurts me so deeply. Because if you are not rooted in your word, or if you just trust someone so much, you can easily be swept up. That's how people end up in cults and stuff. But God gave him a mission. Notice how also Moses left this changed. At this time, Moses had killed a man and then fled for like 40 years and married his wife and had children and did not look back because of how scared he was. Moses left this place and went back to the place where he had a lot of fear because he had God. He left that place changed. Whenever God speaks to you, there is change. Sometimes if God is going to give you a mission to do, please do not think that you are Spider-Man or a superhero. Don't think mission in that aspect. Mission, like there is something to do. There's change to come. That can mean you spending more time with God or getting into a community group or something like that. But it's not limited to that. And that is not absolute or definitive at all times. It just depends. Whenever God speaks, the person feels respect. There's really no way to describe God's presence other than it's powerful, it's absolute, and you will know without a shadow of a doubt when it is God, because humans can merely mimic God's presence, but they can never get as close to being how he is. Also take note that whenever God is speaking to Moses, he says, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, because that place is holy ground. Y'all can look up that song. I love the song, Holy Ground. But God is serious about respect and about reverence. Whenever God is speaking to you, there is a sense of respect and reverence and awe and godly fear that you'll have toward him. Also, it says Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. Compare that to people saying that they went to heaven and there was Candyland and all this stuff, and they were talking face to face to God and they weren't afraid. They didn't have any godly fear, none of that stuff. That is not in accordance with biblical representations of angels and things like that. there's no coincidence why in the Bible, when angels appear, the first thing they say is don't be afraid, because there's godly fear that happens. Okay, then whenever you go over to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, and you're talking about the Ten Commandments, in the very first verse, God identifies himself. Whenever God is speaking to you, you will know, because even if he doesn't say his name verbatim or say I am or El Shaddai or Yahshua or Emmanuel or Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Nisi or Alpha and Omega, his word will identify itself. And we know that for a fact, because in John, it says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. The word is always going to correct you. The word is always going to point you back to God, period. And vice versa. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, this is when Samuel was getting called as a prophet. At first, Samuel was initially confused because this was happening in the nighttime. He thought that his, I kind of would say it is like a spiritual father, which be careful about those terms. But back then, spiritual fathers were permissible and they were good. They didn't have ulterior motives like the ones today. But Eli was his spiritual father. And Samuel was confused. He was like, Eli, are you calling me? And it happened three times. And Eli was like, I'm not calling you. And thank God that Eli was a man of God who knew wisdom. And he said, you should probably check. That's probably God calling you. And it was. And so be aware as well. Whenever Samuel was confused, because keep in mind, he was a little boy, God didn't shame him or condemn him. If you have that voice in your head telling you like you're terrible because you didn't listen to me the first time or things like that, that is not God. Now, should we have some type of shame and conviction and things like that when we do mess up? Yes, because that's just a part of our guilty conscience because we know we did wrong. But if it is creeping up on you constantly day in and day out to the point where you feel suicidal or you can't sleep at night, that is probably a mental illness. There is other things going on. But God called him again and again. Whenever Samuel was confused, God didn't shame him or condemn him because he knew he genuinely didn't understand he was calling him. He called again because God is not scared to get his point across no matter how many times it takes. And he also didn't make false assumptions about God's voice on his own. Keep that in mind as well. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and then also Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, speaks on Jesus hearing his Father God. It was a voice that came from heaven. First of all, it's a clear identifier if the voice is coming from heaven. But then also, we know that this is vital because heaven is God's home. So you know that it is God speaking, and you can read John 14, chapter 2 for that. Sorry. John 14, verse 2 for that one. And then he repeats that Jesus is his son, like claiming that, affirming that to everyone, which was previously spoken several chapters ahead in Matthew chapter 3. And God's will always affirms scripture. It doesn't give some type of new revelation to us. Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. This is God calling Saul/Paul. The AMP, whenever you read it, it says that a voice came from heaven. Clear identifier. This is God speaking. God said that Saul was persecuting and oppressing him and his children. Now, we also know that this is God because whenever God's body, any part of God's body is persecuted, it feels like the whole body is being attacked. For example, whenever you have like sinus infection or something like that, your whole body can get weak because it feels like your whole body is being attacked. So your whole body has to fight back. It's the same thing with God's body. All of us make up different members of God's body. And so even when a part of the hand or the foot or the head or whatever, the diverse things in God's body, whenever one part is down, God sees it and he recognizes it and he knows it. I'm talking spiritually, by the way. And then also, you can see that in John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus also identified himself. And we know that this is Jesus because he also did this before he was about to be persecuted. One would think that if there was ever any time for Jesus to deny himself, wouldn't it be when they're about to kill him and do so brutally by the way of crucifixion on a cross? But no, even then he admitted that it was him. He identified himself. You see that in Mark chapter 15, verse 2. So if you're wondering like, okay, I've recognized all of this and it's probably not God speaking to me, then who or what is this? It's simple. Not really, honestly, I shouldn't say that. There could either be a mental illness in play, and again, don't feel shame for that. Just get help if there is. Or it could very well be that it is a God. It's just not the God of the Bible, capital G-O-D. It's lowercase G-O-D, meaning the God of this world. And I'll read the Bible verse, John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And I also made a video on this as well in season one. I think this is when I was, yes, he speaks his native language is what I named it. It was when I had on the orange top. Yes. So I want y'all to be aware that not everybody that professes Christ is of sane mind. And again, that doesn't mean condemn them or anything like that. I just want y'all to be aware of that. Some people have mental disabilities and mental illnesses, so they do actually believe that Christ is speaking to them to go and kill people, to go and take somebody else's husband or wife from them, to go and continue in their sin. Some people really do believe that when they're in a reprobate mindset due to sin, or because they do have mental illnesses or disabilities. It is either usually themselves speaking or Satan lying to them. Remember that when something sounds strange upon first hearing, do not automatically submit to what is being said. Always check it with the Bible. God gave us discernment, which you can see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and I'll read it. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And also make sure that you use good judgment. Good judgment is used for a reason, and it helps to test everyone that teaches Christ, including me, including your favorite pastor. Test everyone, seriously. And so I will end this off with reading Psalm chapter 34, verses 17 through 20. And this is for anyone that feels like they may be struggling with a mental illness or anything similar that is mimicking these themes, or that you have personally fallen for traps of Satan and it's Satan talking to you and not God. So, okay, verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. Oh, sorry, I wasn't supposed to read verse 21, but I did. I'm saying that to say, if you have been susceptible to this, or you know someone that is, make sure that you pray for yourselves and for them. And also make sure that you know that when the righteous cry out, God does hear them, and he is close to the brokenhearted, the wounded, and the afflicted. And so there is still time to change. Just recognize your wrongdoings. It happens to all of us. We get tricked at times, whether it be about the Bible or more worldly and secular things. So with that being said, thank y'all so much for watching season 2, episode 6 of this one. I really do pray that y'all have blessed days and weeks, and continue to let me know like what things you like and really aren't a fan of with this, and continue to give me your feedback or just text me about certain things. And yeah, toodles.